Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Emmaticon. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's topic is entitled Narrow is the Way That Leads to Life. Narrow is the Way That Leads to Life. I wanted to present this particular topic because of the culture in which the visible church finds itself within North America. One of the teachings that the atheist presented during his earthly ministry was the fact that his presence created a hiatus between the present and the future or the kingdom of God. He presented a powerful contrast between the present cosmic system or the cosmos, as it is called in the Greek New Testament, and the kingdom of God. There is a decisive hiatus that is created with the present order and the order that the atheist brought with him, or that was present within him. I'm going to be reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector who, and his name means the gift of Yahweh. He was a tax collector who made a decisive break with his occupation in order to follow Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, verses 27-32, we read that Matthew gave a banquet for Jesus before becoming one of the 12 apostles. And that is Matthew 10:3. And what is very important is that Matthew was an eyewitness of Jesus' entire ministry. The Gospel of Matthew is a handbook of the faith for first century Jewish converts. There are many references in Matthew's Gospel to the Old Testament, though there are many Old Testament quotations which show or point to the fact that Matthew directed his writing primarily to a Jewish audience. He lays great stress on the Old Testament passages which show that Jesus is Yeshua HaMashiach, that is Jesus the Messiah, the long-awaited King of Israel. It is believed that his gospel was written between AD 58 and AD 68. There is also some evidence that Matthew wrote a copy of his gospel in Hebrew and one in Greek. So, of course, the copy of his gospel in Hebrew would be of interest or directed to Jewish auditors or listeners. And the one written in Greek, of course, Koine Greek, which was the Greek of the marketplace, or the Greek of the common people will be directed to a Gentile audience. So I want you to see that the message itself is universal. That is the kerygma of Jesus Christ. It is given to both the Jew first and then to the Greek. All would be a part of this great gospel message. God, through the gospel, casts his net, and we read in the scriptures that whosoever will may come. John 3:16 teaches that for God so loved the cosmos that he gave as a gift his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes into him or toward him, will have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, might be rescued or saved. In Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to be reading verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The first word, enter, in verse 13, is a very powerful word. And it is given as an aorist, which in the Greek means at a point of action, at a point in time. And it is given in the imperative voice, that is, the subject does the action of the verb, and so the active voice. So we have the aorist imperative active. The mood, I should say, is an imperative command. Perform a certain action by the command or authority of another. And I want you to note the authority of the basis in which he says, into you and at the straight gate. So there is no emotional appeal here. It is given as a command by the Jesus himself. And I want to emphasize this because we want to avoid the tendency to water down the command that is given, because to do so would be to rob the text of its power. And so there's no emotional appeal here. And he is not saying enter ye in a way that would suggest that there is another way. No, there is no other way. There is only this way. And I am also mindful that there are those who bristle at this teaching. And then there's the argument of that hominem, the argument to the man, which says, why is it that you believe that your way is the only way? Well, this is not my way. It is the way of Jesus and his teaching. And please note that it is unapologetically stated. But I remind you of John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world. And so to enter ye in is to be a decisive event in which the individual understands that he must obey the voice of God. The voice of God that is given in the empirical mode. Let me also add as an aside that in the entire New Testament, there are very few passive verbs, which is interesting because in certain transliterations of the Word of God from the New Testament, one would think that there the Scripture may contain many passive verbs, but in fact, the Scriptures do not. And so just think about the implications of such thinking, of such belief, what impact such thinking would have on the walk or lack of a walk of a believing one. See, where God says we must act, then we must act. I give you one instance of a passive verb in the New Testament, be filled with the Spirit. That is, to allow oneself to be acted upon by another. Be filled with the Spirit. And note the verb, be filled with the Spirit. And in no way does it suggest be filled with one's own way, or with the plotting, or with one's own ego. It is to be filled with the Spirit. So we move on. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Interesting. And this word straight does not mean what we mean it. Contemporary thinking by straight. The word here is stenas. Stenas suggests that which is narrow from obstacles, standing about, that which is narrow from obstacles standing about. Interesting, is it not? There are obstacles. In the spiritual life. And if you have walked with him for any period of time, you are aware of the obstacle in the life of faith. There are many obstacles. And so in Ephesians 6, Paul states that we are to have the armor of God as believers. The armor of God is given to us because God knows, God understands that we are engaged in spiritual warfare because we are in the cosmos. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the methodias or the wiles of the devil or the one who divides. However, in verse 13, we read, enter ye in at the straight gate, stenas, that which is narrow from obstacles standing about. Again, it suggests narrowness of room, distress, anguish, and the word also means to hem in closely. This was the experience of Job. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Job is so old, in fact, that the division of Semitic languages, that is, into Aramaic and Hebrew, as it were, and the other Semitic languages of the ancient Near had not yet taken place. And it is interesting that that Job, and I'm not, it is, of course, in the English Bible, it's referred to as Job, but in the Hebrew alphabet, there is no J. Hence, we use the word Jehovah. And again, there's no J in the Hebrew alphabet. It's Jehovah. And so, Job and Jonah are the proper ways. Jeremiah to speak of these words. So we see that in the present, in the life of Job, he found that his life had been constricted. And in his life, there was narrowness of room, distress, and anguish. And he was hemmed in closely by God. Paul talks about his ministry experience and what he learned about the spiritual experience. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Well, let me start with verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, which is critical. This is a critical verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wonderful verse. But we have this treasure, that is the treasure of the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, very critical. The word excellency suggests superabundance in the Greek New Testament. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed or not hemmed in. We are perplexed, and the word perplexed means to have no way out. It means to stand at a loss mentally, but not in despair. That is, to be utterly at a loss. And these words that Paul brings before us are important because we have to understand that here is the greatest intellectual in Western culture, the greatest intellectual in Western culture. And if you were to read some of the subtleties of his thinking in the Greek New Testament, you would be able to see the unparalleled genius of this man who wrote 13 letters of the New Testament. At the end of his letter to the Galatians, he says to them, trouble me no further, for I bear in my body the stigmata of Jesus Christ, the stigma of Jesus Christ. Paul had paid dearly for his commitment to Christ. Did he experience narrowness of room, constriction? Did Job experience narrowness of room or constriction due to obstacles? Yes, they did. And yet neither man wavered. Did Miriam, the mother of Yeshua HaMashiach, suffer narrowness of room, constriction? Yes, she did. Because she was told by the angel at the Annunciation that Aramphia, a giant Roman sword, would pierce her heart. You see, the message in Matthew 7, verse 13, which refers to, that is, the straight gate refers to suffering, experiential awareness of acute suffering, that is, to be under pressure, to be constricted from obstacles standing about. So how is one to negotiate such a difficult path? It is all to be done through the power of the Spirit of God. Hence, the name of this program, Pneumatikos. The spiritual one is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter to the Corinthians. This is not, Pneumatikos is not a general term about spirituality. It is infused with the awareness and the understanding that though we who belong to Christ have the mind of Christ, and it is through the power that is through being filled, not as one would fill a glass, but it means to be controlled by the Spirit of God, so that the life so that the individual's life would bear fruit to God. It is the very opposite of enslavement or being enslaved to one's passion or being controlled by passions which destroy, disintegrate, and dissolve the personality. You know, I have seen pictures of people on methamphetamine, and I'm sure you have too, and one is able to have a very, very profound and disturbing visual picture of what happens to those who are involved in methamphetamine and how the body begins to dissolve. I mean, we're talking about tissue. We're talking about hair tissue. We're talking about the epithelial tissue. We're talking about cardiac tissue, we're talking about the pleura, that is, we're talking about the lungs, we're talking about the liver, because everything that is that goes into the body must be seen by the liver. And it is the human liver that must create the molecules helps to break down and helps the body to negotiate what is put into it. Well, when the system becomes overburdened and can no longer handle the abuse that it is seeing, then the body begins to dissolve, as it were. And just think what this does to bile. Just think what this does to methamphetamine does just to the organ systems, to the tissues of the body. So the body begins to dissolve, and the body becomes a living witness of the abuse that it is going through. But God has provided for us, you know, a wonderful prescription, as it were, for life. Now again, there are those who cannot hear these words and who become greatly disturbed that Jesus presents such an algorithm, such a recipe. But here we're talking about God and what God has decisively provided with regard to salvation for humankind. Paul goes on. He says, verse 9, we are persecuted but not forsaken. We are cast down. It is thrown down, but we are not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, again, and here's the contrast. There is narrowness of room. Narrow is the gate. Narrow, constricted, that leads to life. But wide is the gate. Please note that. Platus in the Greek, that is spread out flat. Wide is the gate. And broad, spacious, is the road that leads to destruction. Now, the word leadeth refers to those who are led off to trial, imprisonment, or punishment. The word leadeth refers to those who are led off to trial, prison, or punishment. Broad, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Jesus gives notice. Even to those who might reject or who reject his words. Even to those who say, well, I don't have to believe this message. And that's true. One does not have to believe. Jesus gives constructive notice. Jesus says to all, do your due diligence. What is your current experience? What do you see going on in the world when you stop believing or when you refuse no longer to believe the fiction that is presented before you in order to keep you off balance, in order to distract, in order to stop or have you unaware that your life lacks homeostatic balance, to ignore your spiritual needs, to be in order to be a member of the cult of the absurd. Look at the culture today for what it is, and look at the very thin veil of window dressing that it is. Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Is this what you believe life to be about? To endlessly hear manipulative things hurled at you from every side? Is this life? No. There's a real life. God presents a real life. And the real life that God presents is through Christ Jesus, the Savior. He is the rescuer. Do you believe that the end of your life or the ultimate end of your life is to be the mere economic unit, to being manipulated from cradle to grave? Beloved, God has a real life for you. God wants you to enter in at the narrow gate. God wants you to stop walking in the broad and flat way, because it is the way that leadeth, what, once again, to prison, to punishment, to judgment. God wants to set you free through Christ Jesus. God wants you to stop being a member of the cult of the absurd and to have a real life. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Metacast. Have a wonderful day.